Do you want to relax? Are you having trouble sleeping or focusing? CBD reduces anxiety, chronic pain, seizures, PTSD, depression. Try our CBD gummies or chocolates. You will be very satisfied. Visit cbdcollections.net. cbdcollections.net. cbdcollections.net.
Hi folks, Chris Daly here. Always looking for interest in Jamaican, doing great things to talk to. And do we have one for you today? We have Dr. Julie Ann Royce Russo. She's an agriculture scientist. She migrated from Jamaica to Italy in 2020, but feeling disconnected from her country and from her field of study, she decided to do something about that. And being the innovator she is, she started the Caribbean Agriculture Network. We're here today to hear her story and what its impact is on Jamaica. So welcome, Dr. Russo.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
This is great. So let's begin by finding a little about your Jamaican roots.
Sure. So I was born in Kingston, and I went to school in Kingston, but when I was about four, my parents moved to Spanish Town. So, we moved back and forth between Spanish Town and Kingston because all of my schooling was in Kingston. I went to Immaculate, prep and high, and then I went to University of the West Indies for my first degree. Okay. My dad he's no longer with us. He was from St. Anne. And my mother is from St. Elizabeth. So that is my background.
Okay, great. So, you know, you're certainly, given your degree, you're very steep in STEM study. Some young people may be listening to this. They're going to say, what is agriculture and what kind of preparation it takes? Give us a little more depth about the journey you took to be able to be prepared, say, in high school for this kind of career path.
Sure. So aquaculture is not something that I think to this day is not something that's really on the, you know, the foremost or the agenda as a career. If you talk to anybody that is probably my generation or under, kind of fell into the field because, as you know, we didn't really have too many choices. You know, in my day, maybe it's a bit different now. You know, we were always taught medicine. If you wanted to do anything with science, it was medicine or engineering or even business or accounting, right? So you really didn't have too many choices if you wanted to move into a different area. And so my path was medicine. Like most of my classmates who did science, it was medicine. And maybe two or three did engineering. And so, you know, when you go into the medicine, you have to do what was called natural sciences. So it's changed now. It's called life sciences now. But you do 4 years of sciences. But I realized by my third year that that was not my path. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people at that time, wonder what next? What are you going to do if you don't want to do any of those choices? And unfortunately, that's what happened to a lot of people. For me, I decided I was going to do veterinary medicine, which was the next choice.
Right.
But then there were no schools in the Caribbean at that time for veterinary medicine. You had to go abroad. So I ended up working at Bodil's Agricultural Research Station. And that's how my path into agriculture started. Because you either went to the agricultural school, but if you went to University of the West Indies, there was no agriculture path. You probably had to go to Trinidad, and I was in Jamaica. So my path was that I ended up getting a scholarship and I did animal sciences, which I had never heard about. I went abroad to school, and that really, once I left Jamaica, it really opened up my eyes to what other choices there were. And when I did that, I came back for 3 years, but then there were no jobs. And then that's how I ended up in aquaculture. I worked at the first shrimp hatchery that opened up in Jamaica. Oh, and that's really influenced what aquaculture was all about. Because like I said, I never studied it at school, really. I did marine sciences. I did every other science but aquaculture.
Okay.
So I decided I wanted to go back and do my graduate studies, and I migrated, and that's when I ended up doing my PhD, and that truly opened up my mind to what aquaculture is. So, which is technically the farming of aquatic organisms. So, you know, livestock. Now you have farming of fish, you have farming of like conch, oysters, anything to do with water, even plants, right? So you have sea vegetables.
Right.
You have ornamental fish. So it's a huge field, and it really opened up my mind to it.
This is great. So you've been this bold and stepping out to some of these traditional roles. Were there family members who were, how did your family react to this? And were the others who supported your paving your own path here?
Nobody knew what it was.
Okay. They just know you're bright and they're going to support you regardless of what.
Well, not really, because if you don't choose medicine, it's like my father was like, well, you're not doing medicine. What are you doing?
Right.
So I think it took them a while to even understand, you know, the path of agriculture is not something that was really elevated, you know, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because when I went to school, I went to school at University of Florida in the States. It is some 75% of the economy is food. Right. And that's not something that was really elevated to me when I went to school. And then from there, you have food sciences, you have manufacturing of food, you have the science that goes into the production of the food. Mm-hmm. So I did all of those sciences, you know, biology, chemistry, microbiology, which at that time you never thought of as sciences for aquaculture, you know?
Right, right.
So I really believe now that they're talking a lot more about STEM. STEM is the science, technology, engineering, and math. I believe that we should really start talking about aquaculture to now be put into this category. So more people in Jamaica can think outside of the box of just not medicine or engineering. They can go into, you know, a different field that's science.
So you're proposing we do STEAM.
STEM.
This is great.
Need some STEAM.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about that, because you came back and your first work was in a budding industry. You said you're doing skunk and those kind of sea, and then you mentioned seaweed. What's the
My work was in shrimp.
In shrimp, yeah. So,
shrimp and ornamental.
All right. So these are high premium kind of products. Tell us about what was your daily activities in that type of work?
Well, at the shrimp hatchery, I started out quite young because I had just done my master's. So I was an algae technician. So we had to make the food for the shrimp. So that was was my job, creating the algae, which went through a very scientific process. It was, you know, it had to be very clean, sterile, in that sense. Then I went on to be a manager for an ornamental fish farm. And that fish farm did a lot of exporting of aquarium fish, you know, like betas and different types of fish that you've probably seen in an aquarium, freshwater mm-hmm. fish, that did a lot of exporting. So these kinds of fields, you also have in Jamaica, tilapia farming, So it's not only for food, which is tilapia or shrimp. You can also have just to make an income, which is ornamental fish or growing aquarium plants. So in that sense, you know, it really opens up a field to have people who don't go into traditional fields can now go into something that can make some money.
Good. So let's talk about the, you mentioned like ornamental fish could actually, it's an export product. And the, how do you see it right now? Jamaica, I think, exports probably 60% of its food supply. Given if we can develop these kind of stuff, what kind of impact is it having on our food supply chain?
So at the moment, I mean, the United Nations is really trying to expound aquaculture to be something considered for our food supply because it takes up less, it can take up less space, mm-hmm. and it can take, it's actually, you know, products like fish are very high in protein, they provide essential nutrients. So this is something that we want people to, you know, we want people to have a healthy diet. It has omega-3s. So you want people to start eating more fish products, more aquacultured products. But at the moment, there needs to be more support in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, like finances, technical services. I think we don't have enough of that. And we don't have enough of an ongoing technical support to people who are interested in small farming. So you may have support for very large farmers and people that may have the money to do this, but there's not enough for smaller farming. And this is where we really need to start focusing for people to provide their own food, you know, like backyard farming.
Right. So it's to put in place an ecosystem for one of these seem like it's rather expensive. Can you speak to some of that? What it takes to set up a business on a small scale?
So I can't give you numbers, but what I do suggest is that because, you know, the way things are in Jamaica and the resources are very limited, what I would suggest is that anyone who is interested in starting an aquaculture business to prepare a well-detailed business plan. And then based on the needs, that's when you can like seek out funding from resources, you know, that are available, or maybe partner with larger farms mm-hmm. to help them. So I think I would advocate more for people to really look into creating that business plan, because I don't think a lot of people really do it to that detail to understand. Yeah. But depending on the small, I think you can manage it on a small level, you know, right now. And I think that's what we're advocating for, the small backyard farmers.
Right. So for those, because I just, one of the first jobs you talk about to be able to develop feed sources, say, for these fish, and you have to check the water acidity and all of that, right? So their government certification and checks that has to take place with these enterprises, I'm assuming.
So the government of Jamaica has the aquaculture and fisheries section.
The quality of
right. So they have an extension. They do have an extension mm-hmm. branch that that, you know, within that business plan they should be including the government's input, and they should also be including the Environmental Protection Agency. So within that business plan is to map out all the resources that are available to make sure that their production systems, you know, meet the certification required. And that's where the network, you know, I formed this network is to be able to connect people together to help them to get some of the resources and to direct them into the places in which they need to really think about when mm-hmm. deciding to go into any kind of aquaculture production.
Okay, so tell us a little about what motivated you. You're in beautiful Italy. Are you in southern Italy or northern Italy?
Oh, I am actually outside of Rome. I'm in the hills.
Hello to the big guy first. So yeah, you are, but yeah, the yearning to give back. Talk us to, you know, how you made from being there to be able to remotely decide to give that kind of support.
Well, I really, when we moved here, I moved from the States here in the middle of the pandemic, as you said, and it was very disconnecting, you know, like not only moving to such a different country, the language, but, you know, very far removed from Jamaica, mm-hmm. and also my field. So, you know, we couldn't travel. I used to travel to Jamaica. I used to travel around and I couldn't do that. I still have not left. So I said, well, I have this time and I want to give back. You know, once you're away, you feel that. I've always felt the need to share my knowledge and resources that I've met over the last 20 years. And so everybody was starting a network over Zoom, and now everyone had Zoom. So I said, well, this is the perfect time. I have the time. Let me try to connect with colleagues. So I started talking to farmers. I started doing Instagram, using social media, Instagram lives to talk to fish farmers, just to find out what was happening, what was going on. I met up with a few of them, and they kind of got me the idea that what was missing was the connection, like, everybody works in isolation. So you have the tilapia farmers, mental farmers. We need to do more oysters or conch or seaweed. And everyone's kind of working in their own little network and not really looking at the big picture. So, and I think we can, you know, it's a very small country and we need to be able to share the resources to, you know, move along with aquaculture. So I decided, let me start the network. And the network started with meetings. So we did a few network meetings. I started getting companies to do free talks. So we've had a couple of seminars, workshops on different aspects of different fields, you know, whether it's going to be veterinary science, you know, like how to treat your fish or preventative or just information, you know, like getting people connected around the world who are actually in different fields of aquaculture.
Nice. This is so. What would be the average age? Do you see a next generation? This is the first generation of folks doing this. How is the next generation being seated or prepared?
So what was really interesting in me starting to reach out through social media, I have Twitter, Instagram, was that there are quite a few women studying abroad in the field of aquaculture in their between the late 20s, early 30s. And they are in different countries. And I thought this was fascinating. This is the next generation. And as I started to talk to more of them, they're doing graduate studies, their master's and PhD. But, you know, when they go, if they go back to Jamaica, there are really no jobs. In fact, you know, it's the same situation I found that when I went back to Jamaica, there's no real, you know, job if you have a PhD in aquaculture.
Right.
So having spoken to them, I said, let's start a women in aquaculture, Caribbean women in aquaculture. We had one meeting and they were really trying to build on this. And for us as women to sort of become the leaders within the Caribbean, you know, and to come up and brainstorm with ideas, how can we make this sustainable for, like you said, for the next generation?
Right.
You know, how can we get that? Because there are people coming to the network who are interested, but it's like you said, where do they go? You know, is it just, can they afford to start a farm or can they do other things within aquaculture, which they can, because we need more researchers, we need more, you know, designers, innovators to make aquaculture affordable and sustainable. And at the moment, there are no schools, or whether technical or university or secondary, that is teaching aquaculture in Jamaica. And I think in other Caribbean islands, we don't have any one school dedicated to aquaculture. And so that's why they all have to go abroad to study.
Right.
And we want to bring that back home. So we want to be able to, in the long term, maybe have more classes or workshops within the islands themselves.
So the two questions get prompted. First is the gender issue. It's a women-led initiative. And how are people adapting to that? Are they welcoming this type of engagement? And are you getting any pushback in it, or is it pretty supportive?
No, not at all. I have always found Jamaica to be very, at least, you know, compared to working in the States.
Yeah.
I managed a fish farm when I was 27 that was majority men. And I have never had an issue working in Jamaica as a woman. I think characteristically, women in Jamaica have always, we had a woman prime minister, right?
Yeah,
women in Jamaica have always been in these roles. And so, and having gone to Immaculate, we were always
empowered.
We can do any, exactly, we're empowered. We can do anything we want to do. I did find a lot of problems when I went to the States, however, as a, you know, a Black woman, immigrant, or you name it,
yeah.
There was always an issue. But no, I think it is encouraged, and I think it's not really about being a woman. I think it's about, you know, what can we, how can we use our skill sets and our knowledge to elevate aquaculture in Jamaica? And like I said, because we have so many of these women who are doing higher studies, we really need to utilize their knowledge and their intelligence.
And I saw it's not Jamaica, it's a Caribbean-based initiative. How did that come about, that you find women in other islands that are of similar mindset to be able to form this kind of community?
So we're searching.
Okay. So the internet...
We're searching for all the women in the Caribbean, because it's, you know, we share similar resources. We share similar culture. And because the resources are so limited, I think, you know, in resources meaning like the knowledge and that we have, if we can bring everybody together to work together, I think it's a benefit for the region. I think that's the way that we really should go and not really isolate ourselves anymore.
Yes, this is great. So if you look at it, it seems like we thank you for, you know, for your vision and insight to be able to start this stuff and to giving it legs, even all the way from outside of Rome. If you should look out, what is some of your vision that you can see this industry happening within the industry, say, in the next 5 years?
Well, what we would really love is, you know, again, you know, because we're so spread out, is eventually to be able to, you know, once we're able to travel, because we still have COVID ongoing, we still have issues, is to eventually start doing physical workshops. So right now we're doing the workshops online, but we really would like to do physical workshops, working with the farmers, do more like hands-on in terms of, you know, especially like with fish health, veterinary studies, to have a lab where we can actually have farmers come and get information, a physical space, like a networking hub, and to have a conference where we can actually bring people together to, because most of the aquaculture conferences are always, Caribbean is always lumped in with Latin America. Now, Latin America is Spanish. It has all these countries that have a different culture.
Yeah.
Majority of the Caribbean is English speaking. Although we, you know, we do incorporate, if anybody is like, you know, from French or Spanish speaking Caribbean, we want that. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a lot for English speaking Caribbean. And it's not geared towards us. We're always kind of like lumped in with one or two posters at a conference.
Yeah, it's like a stepchild
type. So we want to have more research. Right. And we want to have the research studies being presented and really to incite people, motivate people, and people to get to know that aquaculture is not tilapia farming. It's not just tilapia farming. Right. We have conch. come to not only for food, but to replenish our oceans, you know, to make, we have overfishing, you know, Caribbean Sea is highly overfished. So we can do research to replenish some of those natural resources, which we don't have any of that research going on in Jamaica right now. And other things like, you know, seaweed, sea cucumber, different things, oysters. Yes.
When I need sea cucumbers, I'm getting Korean, right?
Right.
Can you talk to us a little about the benefit of that from both the health and from a, you know, a production perspective, if we had that kind type of capability?
Right. So the when you talk about that, you talk about like the benefits of aquaculture. So we've talked
of seaweed in particular.
In seaweed in particular. So yeah. Right now we have one graduate student I'm going to be interviewing her. So I hope everybody gets to see her interview. She can probably tell you a lot more. Okay. But seaweed we have in terms of the actual food aspect. So you have like things like Irish musk. Irish musk for drink. You have in California, they're doing like kelp, you know, like you can actually, it's a high form of iron and you can actually make products out of it in terms of, you know, like the wraps. Or you have other companies that are making little like bars, you know, like they're filled with nutrients, minerals and vitamins. So there are other things that you can actually become more productive and innovative with these products. And then you have talking about just being able to use it as a way to help, you know, with our oceans. Right. So, you know, there are many forms, and that's why we need more research and more looking into these different products.
This is great. I'm pretty sure this interview is going to elicit some questions. If folks would like to reach you as a follow-up, what's the best way of doing that?
So to follow our social media?
If they listen to the story and say, boy, I may have an interest or know some person would like to some more information on this burgeoning industry, how would they best reach you?
So they can send us an email to Caribbean Aquaculture. I have to send it to you, but you can also go on Twitter.
Okay.
Twitter is PhD Fish Doctor. You have Instagram, which is PhD Fish Doctor as well. Okay. And you can go on our YouTube. And if you go on our Instagram, you'll see all of this information where you can find me.
Okay. And Fish Doctor. Okay.
Right. Oh, and our email is caribbeanaquaculturen876@gmail.com.
Just could repeat that again.
So caribbeanaquaculturen876.
Okay, like the air code, yeah.
@gmail.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Doc, this has been so good. Do you have any parting wisdom for our audience today?
Sure. You know, at this time, I would say stay healthy and keep connected.
Wow. We thank you that you're staying connected, even all the way from outside of Rome, and having such a major impact on a burgeoning industry in our country and on our Caribbean. Thank you so much, Dr. Russo.
And thank you so much for having me, Chris. It was a pleasure.